Well, hey, and welcome to the Gawler Uniting Church podcast. I'm Josh Shearer, the lead pastor for our church. I hope this message encourages you and builds your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If we can help you in any way, please reach out at hello@gawleruniting.org.au. Enjoy the message.
Today's Bible reading comes from 1 Samuel chapter 17, starting at verse 33 and going to verse 37, and it's up on the screen. Or you can flick open to your Bibles. Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against the Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everybody. It's so great to see you all here and great to have you online, those of you watching from wherever you are online. It's really an honour that I've been asked to speak today, and thank you all for coming to see me. But I'll start with prayer. God, we welcome you here today. God, we thank you for your word that guides us and inspires us, and for your Holy Spirit that leads us. And God, we pray that today you can open our hearts and minds to hear all that you have to say to us, God, and help us to do all that you've called us to do, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in this wonderful series, Heroes of the Faith, and you saw the intro. And we've been hearing about these amazing stories by, acts of faith by people like Joshua and Joseph and Rahab and all Moses, all these wonderful heroes of the Bible. And today, I'm really excited to be speaking about David. And I think one of the things that really excites me about this whole series is that we get to see how God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And if he can do it with Joseph and David and Joshua, he can do it for us. And that's what I find exciting about this. So I'm talking today about the story of David and Goliath. And for those of you who may not be familiar with the story, it starts out with the Israelite army and the Philistine army are at war. And they're on two hills and there's a valley between them. And they can't go down into the valley, I don't think, because it's too treacherous. So they send out, the Philistines send out this mighty warrior, Goliath. And he, the Bible says he's 6 cubits and a span tall. And when I looked that up, apparently it's about 9 feet. So it's pretty tall. And Goliath comes out and he's in all his armor. You know, he's got the best gear, the best sword, the best javelin, all the best stuff. And he looks very daunting. And all the Israelite army see Goliath and they're terrified. It says they are dismayed and terrified, even King Saul. And it says when Goliath comes out, they actually flee in fear from him. So that's how scary Goliath was to the Israelite army. So anyway, they're trying to get someone. Basically, Goliath's coming out and he's saying, apparently he's been doing this for 40 days, and he's saying, "Send your bravest warrior and I will fight them. And if you win, our army will become your servants. And if I win, your army will become our servants." And nobody would go. Everybody's too scared. Anyway, enters a young shepherd boy into the story called David. Now, David wasn't even supposed to be at the battle. David was sent by Jesse, his dad. Now, David was the youngest of 8 brothers. And the eldest 3 were at war in the Israelite army. And David was sent by Jesse, his dad, to take food to the army. He said, "Take supplies to the army go and find your brothers, see how they are, and come home and give me news. Take supplies, find your brothers, come home with news. Nowhere in those instructions was there, and fight a giant and win the war while you're there. But along comes David, and he finds his brothers and finds out how they are and does all that, just like his father had said. But while he's there, Goliath comes out. And David's like, what? Who is this? It actually says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And he's just like, this is no good. And he starts asking people, what will the king do for the person who fights Goliath? And they tell him, oh, you know, he's going to give them great wealth and give him his daughter's hand in marriage and eliminate taxes. Yes. So, and while he's doing this, actually, interestingly, his eldest brother, Eliab, gets angry at him. He's like, what are you doing? Why are you here? You just come to gawk at the army? And that's just a little side note. When God calls you to do something big, not everybody might agree with you. There might be some people that want to, you know, have a bit of a go. So just stay true to who God is. So anyway, David just ignores that and goes to Saul and says, I will fight Goliath. And at first Saul says, no way. You're just a boy. I can't send you out. He's been a warrior from his youth. I can't send you out. But then eventually David convinces Saul, and he goes and he fights Goliath. He picks up his sling, hurls the stone, hits him in the head, bang, down he comes. And Israelites have the victory. Pretty exciting. Now, I'm going to reveal a bit of my ignorance here. Don't judge me. But up until a few years ago, my vision of that story was a young fella, which is true, with, do you ever know a slingshot, which is like two bits of wood and a bit of rubber, and you pull the rubber back with the whatever stone and pew, out comes the stone. That was what I imagined that Goliath had when he was going, I'm sorry, not Goliath, David had when he was going to fight Goliath. However, probably about 2 years ago, I watched a talk by a fellow by the name of Malcolm Gladwell, who is a journalist and writer and also a Christian. And he did this talk called David and Goliath. And in his talk, he revealed a few things to me that I didn't know. So, you probably all know this, but just in case, the sling that David had wasn't a slingshot. It was a weapon that they use in war. We actually saw it on that intro where there's someone swinging around. That's the sling that David has, and it's like a little pouch with two strings attached to it, and you swing it around, and then you let go of one of the strings, and the projectile flies out and hits your target. Some things to know about that sling is, yes, it was a weapon that was used in war, and they say that when David's swinging that sling around, it's turning at about a rate of 6 to 7 revolutions per second. That's pretty fast. So, and then when the projectile, in this case a rock from the valley, is let go, it's flying at a rate of about 35 metres per second with a stopping power similar to a 45mm handgun. So David didn't have just a toy in his hand. He had a deadly weapon. So, they say that a slinger could actually hit a target at 200 yards and even hit a bird in flight. That's how accurate they were. And David obviously had this sling to defend his father's sheep. He'd been out in the field, like, you know, it says the lion and the bear. He'd used this sling with accuracy. So, while all the army thought he was crazy, even Saul, like, you are kidding me, you're just a kid. David knew something that they didn't know. He had a skill that they didn't know. He had a sling in his hand. But more than that, more than confidence in who he was and his own skills, David had confidence in who God was. David had confidence in God. And it says in 1 Samuel 17:37, the Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. And then in 45 it says, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, whose name you have defied." David knew something that Goliath didn't know, and he had confidence that God had prepared him for just this time. So while David was out tending his father's sheep, his time wasn't being wasted. He was being prepared for this act of faith right now. So my take-home point, and I'm not finished. Sorry, kids, you just have to be, everybody, you have to just hang in there for a bit longer. But my take-home point is that God, for our heroic acts of faith, God prepares us. So don't get impatient in the preparation. Don't get impatient in the preparation. I can be patient sometimes, but one thing that I actually am not very good at is waiting. Can anyone relate to this? You know, you have to wait for something, phone, like trying to ring a phone company or a bank, and you dial and it's like, press one for this option, press two for this option. And you're like, you press two. And then it goes, now press one for this option, press two, and it gives you about six different options. You've forgotten what the first one was by the time it gets to the sixth. And then it says, now tell us in a few words what the nature of your inquiry is. By this time I'm like, I just want to talk to someone. Smash the phone. No, I don't smash the phone. That's an exaggeration. But I don't get patient in that situation. So knowing that information, imagine this. When I was a young lady, my heart was to get married, have a family, you know, raise them in the house of God, and that was it. Get married, have kids, have a family, bring them up in God's house. And so I got to, you know, 25, and that seemed like a good age to get married, so I'm like, God, I'm ready. Bring him to me, I am ready. And 25 came and went, and then I got to 30. I thought, yeah, God, I can see there was some stuff I still needed to learn between 25 and 30. So, but now, at 30, I moved to Adelaide. So I was sure, God, you are definitely bringing me my husband now. This is the time. But 30 came and went. And 35 came and went. And 40 came and went. And at the age of 44, I got to the point where I said, God, if you want me to be single, that is fine, so be it. But if you want me to be married, God, you will have to bring my husband to me because I am done. I had tried everything. I wasn't just sitting back waiting. I had done the internet dating thing. I'd done the, you know, be open, go and meet people, go out and join a club, be involved in church. I'd done all of that, but still no husband. So that was my prayer. And I think it was actually literally the same day I get an email from Christian Connection saying, I think it was 1 month free or 1 month at some ridiculously low price. And I'm like, really, God? Really? You want me to do this again? So I went, okay, I uploaded my profile and I uploaded some photos and put it all online and went, and then did nothing. Then I did nothing. And one day, I got an email saying, someone's waved at you. Hello. That's what happened. You get a wave. So I looked up his profile and I thought, oh, he looks like a nice guy. He sounds like he's into God and family. I might wave back. Hello. Wave back. Anyway, we started to email and then SMS and then, you know, eventually talk on the phone. And then we went on a date. That was another scary experience. First dates, but you know, that went on. I must have done all right because we got another date and another date, and now that man is my husband. Yay! And I know some of you are probably thinking, well, that's not an act of faith. Everybody gets married. That's just normal. But the thing that took faith on my part, not maybe not everybody, but for me it took faith, was that when I agreed to marry my husband, I also agreed to co-parent his five children. Not one, not two, five. And the reason why that took an act of faith wasn't because they're terrible kids, they're adorable. Look at them, they are adorable. But it was for me, because I'd never been a parent. I'd not been a mother once to one child. let alone five, and the thoughts come through like, what if they cut off their finger with a knife while I'm not looking? What if something happens? What if I can't give them enough or care for them enough or do enough? But what happened was, I knew things, my 44-year-old self knew things that my 30-year-old self didn't know. And my 44-year-old self could do things that my 30-year-old self couldn't do. God had used that time to prepare me for this moment. God knew what he would need me to do, and he was preparing me. And I saw so many times God just came through with miracles. He provided where I couldn't imagine that I could be provided for. He did all this stuff in that time so that when I had to have faith to believe that if I, like Josh said the other week, if I do what I can do, God will do what I can't do, I could do that because he'd prepared me for that. So, you know, I'm talking about being prepared and how God prepares us. And I'm wondering today, is there people that feel like maybe you are out in the paddock? Maybe you are out tending the sheep. No one's calling you to battle. No one's asking you to speak up the front or start a life group. I want to encourage you today that this is your time of preparation. Don't get impatient in it. Just seek God. Just keep turning to God because he's showing you things and teaching you things that will prepare you for your next big act of faith or little act of faith or any act of faith. And maybe you're here and you are facing a giant and you don't know if you're ready. Maybe it's a sickness, or maybe it's getting a new job, or maybe it's a family member that is slipping further and further away from God, even though you're praying for them. I want to encourage you too that God has prepared you. He prepared you in advance. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it states, "We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared for us in advance." God already knows what he's calling you to do. He already knows the works that he has planned for you, whether you're like five or whether you're 55 or 105. God already knows the works that he has planned for you. So trust in the preparation. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you have prepared a way for us in advance. God, we thank you that your hand is at work in our life. And God, I pray that as we go about our week this week, that you can remind us, God, of every miracle, every time that you've looked out for us, every time that you've provided for us, every time that you have made a way where there is no way, so that we will know each time you call us to do something new, that you have prepared us in advance. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the message. And if you want to connect with us further, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Gawler Uniting Church. Thanks and see you next time.